To me, this is not just another nation. It is not just one of the family of nations. This is a nation with a great mission to perform for the benefit of liberty-loving people everywhere.
That we shall be as a city upon a hill.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of his country.
You've come to fight as free men.
Free men you are.
What will you do without freedom?
Proclaim liberty throughout all the land.
In one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight.
You gotta fight!
Ten in the morning. Welcome back to Talk Radio 92.3 FM and AM 760. Last and final hour here for you. We're talking some good stuff here today. We're talking Obama apparently being ranked the worst president of all time.
I mean, at least number two.
At least
Jimmy
since
Carter.
World War II. George Bush, actually. W. Bush.
Yeah. Well, that's predictable. I would have put him probably in the bottom five, just because how recent he is and controversial, you know.
Yeah,
stuff like
I mean the whole Iraq War, Afghanistan debacle. I mean all that stuff probably did look too good
Can we go through the list?
Let's see here. President Obama has topped the predecessor George W. Bush in another poll, but not anyone would like.
Next, it's after World War II.
Yeah, let's see. This is how they have it ranked out. 33% said that Barack Obama was the worst president of all time. 28% said that George W. Bush was the worst of all time. Since World War II, right? 13% said that Richard Nixon was the worst since World War II. 8% say Jimmy Carter, and then it's just a smattering of random ones. 3%
That's predictable.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty predictable. Obama and Bush, very recent, both controversial on both sides of the aisle. And then Jimmy Carter, who was kind of universally disliked, and then Richard Nixon because of Watergate.
Right. Hey, let's get into a different topic here. Go to our fantastic guest that we have in line. Let's see here. Jim Bavard. He's the author of The Public Policy Hooligan, Attention Deficit Democracy. I know. I love that title.
I love that title.
It's awesome. And eight other books. He's also a member of USA Today Board of Contributors. He's written for New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Playboy, Washington Post, and many other publications. A contributing editor for The American Conservative, frequent contributor to The Hill, regular contributor to Future of Freedom magazine. His books have been translated into Spanish, Arabic, Japanese, Korean, and if you like what you're hearing so far, or even in this interview, just go to jimbavard.com, check out all his stuff. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate that.
And I specifically want to touch on this headline right here, USA Today headline, Inspector General's report on FBI and Clinton's emails shows secrecy threatens democracy. Now, just right there, I would tend to agree with that notion of just the headline, quite obviously. But I have to ask you just a general question before we get into the minutiae of what this article demonstrates. You're hearing two different plays right now by Democrats and Republicans as to how serious this IG report should be taken. I heard Chuck Schumer or Nancy Pelosi come out yesterday and several times stress the idea that, well, there was no real wrongdoing here. They didn't find any substantial evidence to bring any actual claims. It was just sort of procedure or policy that was being broken. The right side, however, is saying that this is a clear demonstration of full-out political motivation that was acted upon. We've gone past the level of political bias here. There's a serious, substantial problem in this department that needs to be solved. If I can start as general with that, with you, sir, which one of these two options is it? Or is there some middle play here?
Well, I think the second option is certainly closer to the facts. And part of what concerns me is that there's still a vast amount of the inside dirt that we have not seen yet. The FBI stonewalled Capitol Hill. It's stonewalling elsewhere. And I think that there might be even worse abuses or more shocking emails or text messages between FBI agents than what has come out so far. And it's kind of, you know, lots of folks have bashed the Inspector General because of his conclusions, which I don't necessarily agree with. But there's so much great stuff in that report. And I was just shocked to see them to see it come out and say that the FBI decided to absolve Hillary Clinton unless she confessed. It's like, oh, this is a real high standard for an investigation. You guys are really, you know, you leave no stone unturned. She didn't confess, so she must be innocent.
I love that's a proper legal approach, though, isn't it? That's what you do in courtrooms.
Well, and this is the FBI, and part of what fascinated me was reading through this report and, You know, there's been a lot of controversy for the last couple of decades about how the FBI never bothers to use tape recorders when it's doing interviews with people. And that was a huge factor here. It was a huge factor when they finally had their sit down with Hillary Clinton. Was there a videotape? No. Was there a transcript? No. And she didn't confess, so she's innocent. I mean, it would have been great to restore public confidence in the FBI and in the Clinton investigation if there had been a videotape. But we know why there wasn't, because it would have been an absolute disgrace.
And this is specifically what you mentioned in the article here. Perhaps the most frequent phrase in the IG report is, quote, according to the FD/302. And this is what I suppose this is what you're talking about, to where the FBI is basically allowing them to just write up after the fact memos using their discretion, I suppose, discretion of the FBI officials to kind of frame the issues or even to create a narrative almost. Mm-hmm. Is this a standard practice, do you know, in the FBI to just not record even video or even at audio? It is standard practice, you're saying.
Yes, this is standard practice for the FBI. This is, you know, interesting. Going back 4 years ago, Attorney General Eric Holder tried to get a new policy which would mandate that the FBI and other law enforcement agencies would make tape recordings of people in custody, and I think it was implied it would be done in other cases as well. But it's interesting. This is something which was a complete disaster for the FBI in the Pulse nightclub massacre case that went down in late March, early April, because the feds brought this case against the widow of the mass killer, claiming that she had known, claiming that she had been involved. FBI interrogated her for 17 hours without she didn't have a lawyer. There was no videotape. There was no audio. After that, an FBI agent wrote up a confession for her to sign, which she did, which the FBI took to court, and it blew up because there were a number of brazen falsehoods in the FBI confession. And if the FBI had videotaped something, you know, the feds might not have been whipped in federal court down there on this case. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, sorry. I was going to let you finish that statement. I was going to change topics a little bit, but go ahead, sir.
No. Change topics. I'm ready.
Good deal. Well, you also mentioned here that one FBI lawyer texted that he was, quote, devastated by Trump's election and declared, quote, "Viva la resistance. And I never really liked the Republic anyways," which right there is just astounding. I mean, we don't even have to go on. But you also then go on to say that that same person became the primary FBI attorney assigned to Russian election interference investigation beginning in early 2017. Now, there's not been a lot of contextual connecting the dots, if you will, for pundits out here, but is it fair to say, not safe to say, but is it fair to say that there may be some potential political motivation leak over into the ongoing Russia Mueller investigation? Because none of this IG report, I think, has anything to do with that. But is it fair to say that there might be some of that same political motivation going on?
Well, yeah, it sounds very likely. Now, it's President Trump, I think, last Thursday, as soon as maybe on Friday as well, when the report came out, Trump was tweeting that he'd been absolved. That the IG report proves that the Russian investigation is a witch hunt. It does not prove that, but it does raise grave questions about the honesty, about the character of the folks who have folks who are running that investigation, and it certainly wrecks the credibility of James Comey, who was probably going to be the prime witness if Mueller tried to bring an obstruction of justice case against Trump. But so it doesn't settle the Russian investigation, but it is one huge cloud over it.
And one broad question here as well, just it's the question that everybody wants to know the answer to when it comes to these stories. And that's, do you think anything will actually ever happen because of these investigations?
Right,
will anyone ever actually serve jail time? Will anybody actually ever have to pay a fine at minimum? Will anything ever happen? Or is it just going to be a fact-finding mission and we're going to get to the bottom of it, but no one's going to have any consequences?
Well, I think it's certainly possible that James Comey will have to lower his speaking fees. But seriously, there's my impression is there's going to be a lot more coming out. There is blood in the water, and I think that the FBI's Teflon shield might have cracked, and because of that, Congress and the IG and others might be able to find out more details, more smoking guns. The thing which I'd love to see is that we could have a type of thorough investigation of the FBI, the same that happened in the mid-1970s by Senator Church, the Church Committee to find out what the FBI has been doing across the board. I don't think that the type of abuses, the proven abuses in the FBI Clinton investigation are that novel. I think the similar things might have happened in plenty of other investigations, and Americans have had their rights and liberties violated by the FBI a lot more than they recognize.
And you were insinuating a little bit at the very beginning of this interview that there might be more to come, more details or more fact-finding as we're going along. Alan Dershowitz wrote an opinion, I believe, for Fox News or something the day after this broke, saying that this was not the original draft. I don't know where he got that information from, but are you at all able to validate that this is not the original draft? And if that's the case, what do you think might have actually changed from the original draft?
I would guess that the first draft was more critical. I just have that hunch.
What gave that away?
I don't know where you're getting that from, but yeah.
Yeah, so I haven't seen the first draft. I hope we can find more of it. I hope more of it comes out over time. But there have been a lot of fights about lots of fights over the what was shown and not shown. But I think that the FBI is starting to lose control over the narrative here.
Yes, right.
And thanks to that, I think that we might find out more, and maybe a whole lot more, of the kind of abuses that have gone on.
And I would implore all of our audience to go check out this article, Inspector General's Report on FBI and Clinton's Emails Shows Secrecy Threatens Democracy, or just go to, jimbavard.com, I believe, if I'm getting that that website correct there. In that article, you also claim here, FBI investigators shrugged off brazen deceit, and an unnamed FBI agent went on to say this when he was texting with his colleagues, saying, wouldn't it be funny if he was the only guy who was charged in this deal? And the response to that was, ain't no one gonna do S-word as far as filing charges. That kind of gives me the feeling that this has just been business as usual at the FBI for a very long time. It almost sounds like these FBI agents were not even thinking, had a second thought yep. about acting and proactively acting on some of these feelings. It goes back to what Mr. Crawford said before. Do you think anyone's going to not get charged with this? My question is, do you think anything is actually going to change in the FBI? I know they made recommendations, quote unquote, at the yep. end of this IG report, but do you think there's going to be substantial noticeable changes in the FBI or all intelligence communities, for that matter?
Excellent question. I think that depends on how much heat the media applies, how much gumption Congress has, and what sort of other facts start to come out. Because I think that the FBI's Teflon shield may have cracked here, and maybe it's possible to get a crowbar and pry open a whole lot more information.
And I can't thank you again, sir. We want to be respectful of your time. But if you can, for our audience members, any other websites or books or anything we didn't get to mention here that you'd like them to check out?
Oh, I think you've done a great job. I've got lots of links to other articles at jimbovard.com and books and all that stuff, and maybe some stuff good for a laugh.
It's been a great interview, sir, and we can't thank you enough. Hopefully we can set something up again in the future, and look forward to all of it.
Hey, thanks so much for your kind words. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, there he goes, 9:22 in the morning. We'll be back with more real news after this break. Me, 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 me.